Every week, I see a version of the same patient. She's exhausted in a way that sleep just doesn't fix. Maybe digestion is not dramatically wrong, but it's not right. She keeps catching everything that goes around. Or there's a skin issue that nobody's quite explained. Or maybe this person has a diagnosis, so Hashimoto's, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, and there's a specialist who is managing it. And she's taking her medication and she's doing what she's told, but she still just really doesn't feel well. She's been to her GP, had all the bloods done, everything has come back as normal or near enough. So therefore, she's been told to just manage her stress. She's been told to eat well. She's been told that these things take time. And then she's sitting in front of me and she says some version of the same thing. I just feel like something is being missed, like the dots aren't joined. And she's right, the dots are not being joined. The dot that is most often missing is the connection that conventional medicine routinely overlooks that changes the entire picture when you make it. And this is the one between your gut and your immune system. And that connection is what this episode is all about. Welcome to the Good Health Podcast. I'm Nicole Good, certified functional medicine practitioner, author of Optimal You, and founder of the Good Health Clinic. This is the podcast where I take the frameworks I use in clinical practice every day and make them accessible, not watered down, not dumbed down, but genuinely translatable. Because understanding what is happening in your body is not a privilege, it's a right. It's the first Monday of March, and this month we're spending 4 episodes in the world of gut health and immune function. And then we've got an amazing guest coming on for you. Not because they're trendy topics, although they are, but because they are genuinely, mechanistically, and measurably connected in ways that have profound implications for you and how you feel every single day. And I mean every single day, not just when you're ill, not just when your autoimmune condition flares. Every day, your gut and your immune system are in constant communication. And the quality of that communication determines your energy levels, your ability to fight infection, your inflammatory load, your skin, your mood, and your long-term health trajectory. In this episode, I want to cover 4 things. What the gut immune axis actually is, what breaks it, what you feel when it's under stress, and what functional medicine does about it. No fluff, just practical, evidence-based, and directly applicable to where you are right now. So let's go. The gut immune axis. It sounds very technical, but it doesn't need to be. So let me start with a number. Around 70% of your immune cells live in or around your gut. 70%. Your gut is not just a digestive organ. It's the headquarters of your immune system. It is where your body's most important immune decisions are made. And this area, called the gut-associated lymphoid tissue, or GALT, is where immune cells are trained. They are literally trained. So your gut teaches your immune cells to distinguish between things that belong in your body and things that don't, between food proteins and pathogens, between harmless bacteria and dangerous ones, between self and non-self. When the gut is healthy, when the environment is right, the microbiome is diverse and balanced and the gut lining is intact. And that training process, it really works. The immune system learns to be appropriately calibrated, reactive enough to deal with genuine threats, but tolerant enough not to attack when things don't need to be attacked. When the gut is unhealthy, and I want you to notice that I said unhealthy, not just symptomatic, because you can have a profoundly unhealthy gut with very few obvious digestive symptoms. So when the gut is unhealthy, that training process breaks down. The immune system becomes miscalibrated. It becomes either underactive, so you catch everything, you heal slowly, you're more vulnerable, or overactive, so there's chronic inflammation, allergies, food sensitivities, and at the more serious end of the spectrum, autoimmunity. So let me give you a second piece of the picture that I think is really important because it explains the mechanism. Your gut lining is made up of a single layer of cells, one cell thick, and that is the barrier between the contents of your digestive tract, which includes food particles, bacteria, toxins, everything that you've consumed, and your bloodstream. One cell thick, and it does an extraordinary job normally. So when the barrier is intact, it selectively allows nutrients to pass through into the bloodstream while keeping everything else out. Partially digested food particles, bacterial endotoxins, antigens, they all stay within the gut. And then the immune system on the other side of that doesn't have to deal with them. But when that barrier is compromised, and this is what we often call increased intestinal permeability or on social media, leaky gut, when that barrier becomes more permeable than it should be, those things start getting through. And the immune system that's sitting right there on the other side mounts a response. So the immune cells activate, inflammatory signals are released. The body is, in a very real sense, then at war with itself, not because the immune system is malfunctioning, but because it is doing exactly what it was designed to do. It's responding to a perceived threat, except that that perceived threat is coming from inside the house. So that low-grade persistent immune activation, which is driven by gut permeability, by dysbiosis in the microbiome, by a breakdown in the gut-immune relationship, it's one of the most common and most consistently overlooked drivers of chronic symptoms that I encounter in clinical practice. Now, the gut-brain axis gets a lot of attention. The gut-skin axis is becoming better known. But the gut-immune axis, the bidirectional relationship between the health of your gut and the function of your immune system, is arguably the most important axis of them all. And it's the one that I want you to hold in your mind for everything else that we talk about this month. So what goes wrong? Why is the gut-immune relationship so commonly under stress? Because in my experience, it almost always is to some degree, and usually for reasons that are entirely identifiable and entirely addressable. So let me take you through the six disruptors that I see most consistently in clinic. Disruptor one has got to be chronic stress. And I know that this is the one you will have heard about, but I want you to understand the mechanism, because stress is bad for your gut, but that's too vague to be useful. Cortisol is your primary stress hormone, and it directly damages gut integrity. So it increases gut permeability. It suppresses the production of secretory IgA, which is the immune antibody that lines your gut and acts as your first line of immune defense. It disrupts the microbiome, and it does all of this in a matter of days of sustained stress exposure. This is why I see the patients who have been under chronic stress, work stress, family stress, sustained emotional load, the kind of stress that never really fully resolves, so frequently have gut immune problems, even if they've never had obvious digestive symptoms. But the stress has got to the gut, and the gut got to the immune system. Disruptor number two is antibiotic use. So antibiotics are extraordinary medicines, and they save lives, and we're not here to demonize them, but they're indiscriminate. So they kill the bacteria that you don't want, but they also kill the bacteria that you do want. And we all have to take them at times. But it's really important to understand what they do so that you can help to protect the gut if you do have to take them, or heal from the gut if you have taken them. And the microbiome, so this complex ecosystem of bacteria, fungi, viruses, and other microorganisms that live in your gut, is not a passive backdrop. It is an active regulator of your immune system. So when the microbiome is disrupted, immune regulation suffers. The research on this is substantial. So a single course of antibiotics can alter the microbiome for months. Multiple courses, or courses taken in early life, have effects that can persist for years. And this doesn't mean never take antibiotics. It means take them when they are genuinely indicated, support the microbiome during and after, and understand why rebuilding gut health after antibiotic use is a clinical priority. So then disruptor number three is ultra-processed food. Not because food needs to be a source of anxiety, it doesn't, but because ultra-processed food is specifically and measurably damaging to the gut lining and the microbiome. The emulsifiers in processed food have been shown to directly damage the gut epithelial cells, which are the cells that make up that barrier that we were talking about. The low fiber content starves the beneficial bacteria. The additives, the seed oils, the refined sugars, all of those create an environment in which pathogenic bacteria thrive and beneficial bacteria struggle. This is not about clean eating as a moral position. It's about the direct relationship between what you eat and the integrity of the gut immune barrier. And ultra-processed foods are full of all these things. Disruptor number four is poor sleep. And I see this so much. The gut repairs predominantly at night. So the circadian rhythm governs gut motility, the composition of the microbiome, the production of intestinal stem cells that renew the gut lining. And when sleep is fragmented, it's shortened, it's poorly timed, that repair process is compromised. And here's the bidirectional piece. The gut also regulates sleep. So the microbiome produces precursors to serotonin and melatonin. And a disrupted microbiome disrupts sleep. And disrupted sleep disrupts the microbiome. So you can see how that cycle becomes self-reinforcing and why you can't address sleep in isolation if the gut is in trouble. Disruptor number five is alcohol. So alcohol is directly toxic to the gut lining. It increases gut permeability even in moderate quantities. It disrupts the microbiome. It feeds pathogenic bacteria. And I'm not going to go on about this one because we're all going to have a glass of wine or a pint of beer or something at some point. But I do want to name it because it is one of those most common gut disruptors that we encounter in clinic, and one of probably of the least discussed in the context of immune health. If your immune system is struggling and you drink regularly, then this is a factor. It's not the only factor, but it is a factor that is worth naming. And this isn't to demonize alcohol. It's not to say you can never have a drink. But if you are struggling with your gut or you're struggling with your immune system, then you might want to consider how much you're having. Disruptor number 6 is regular non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, so NSAIDs. So this is things like ibuprofen, naproxen, aspirin if it's taken regularly. And these are well established as damaging to the gut lining. And we see this a lot in clinic. They inhibit prostaglandin synthesis, which is one of the key mechanisms by which the gut maintains its own integrity. When they're used occasionally for acute pain, they're generally fine. It's when they're used regularly, which many people with inflammatory conditions are advised to do, but they do contribute directly to gut permeability and gut immune dysregulation. And this isn't to say that if you need to take them that you shouldn't. If they are genuinely needed long term, the question then has to be, what do we do with the gut to help protect it? And I see this pattern repeatedly. Somebody with an inflammatory condition, prescribed NSAIDs long term, gut health deteriorates significantly since they start them. Their immune function starts to worsen, but nobody has connected the intervention to the downstream consequence. And this really is about recognizing those patterns and recognizing those connections, because then you can do something about it. So I want to take a moment here and describe what this actually feels like from the inside, because one of the things that makes the gut-immune connection so consistently overlooked is that it doesn't always announce itself that obviously. You don't necessarily have dramatic gut symptoms. You don't necessarily have a diagnosed autoimmune condition. You might just feel a bit off in a way that's hard to put your finger on and harder still to get investigated. So let me describe the pattern that I see in clinic. The immune side looks like this, catching every illness that goes round, not just the odd cold, but the feeling that your immune system is not keeping up, getting ill more than you feel you should, taking longer to recover, a 3-day cold that turns into a 2-week long slog, that slow wound healing, the feeling that your body just isn't bouncing back, and at the more chronic end, maybe persistent low-grade inflammation, joint stiffness or pain that isn't explained by anything obvious, skin conditions like eczema, acne, rosacea, psoriasis, particularly conditions that flare with stress or with certain foods, and autoimmune conditions. If you have one, the chances that your gut immune axis is under significant stress is very high. Not certain, but very high. The gut side looks like bloating that nobody's ever really managed to explain to you, or at least not to your satisfaction. An IBS diagnosis that feels like a description of your symptoms rather than an explanation of them. Food sensitivities that seem to multiply over time, more things disagreeing with you than they used to. Fatigue after eating. Loose stools or constipation or both. And that low-level digestive discomfort that you've just accepted as your normal. But here's the thing that I really want you to hear. You can have a profoundly compromised gut immune axis and feel it primarily as fatigue, brain fog, low mood, or poor sleep, with very few obvious gut or immune symptoms at all. Fatigue is one of the most common downstream consequences of gut immune dysregulation that I see. Not because fatigue is a gut symptom, it isn't, obviously, but because a chronically activated immune system is energetically extremely expensive. The body is spending enormous resources on low-grade immune activation that it should not need to sustain, and therefore you feel that as exhaustion. Brain fog, poor concentration, low mood, anxiety that doesn't quite make sense given your circumstances. These are all consistent with the neurological downstream of the gut immune dysregulation, specifically the effect of systemic low-grade inflammation on brain function. And this is why I said at the start of this episode that the dots are not being joined, because the fatigue gets investigated on its own. The brain fog gets investigated on its own. The skin issue gets a referral to dermatology. The gut symptoms get a colonoscopy. And each specialist looks at their piece of the picture and says, oh, there's nothing alarming here. But nobody looks at the relationship. Nobody looks at the gut-immune relationship as the central organizing thread. And in functional medicine, that thread is often exactly where you've got to start. All right, so how do we actually address this in functional medicine practice? Because I don't want this to be an episode that explains the problem in detail and then waves you in the direction of Dr. Google. So let me tell you what this approach actually looks like. The framework that we use in functional medicine is built, and I'm going to talk about four stages here, but you'll sometimes hear it called the 4R protocol in functional medicine circles. And that is remove, replace, reinoculate, repair. And I'll walk you through each one. So we start with remove. Remove the things that are damaging the gut lining and disrupting that microbiome. And this is where we start, because pouring nutrients into a leaky bucket before you fix the holes is not really a very efficient strategy. For most people, this means identifying and removing food sensitivities, not on a permanent elimination basis, but as a diagnostic and therapeutic intervention. The most common culprits are gluten and dairy, but it does vary individually. It also means addressing the dietary patterns that we've discussed. So reducing ultra-processed foods, reducing alcohol, reducing refined sugar. And if NSAIDs or other gut-damaging medications are in the picture, having a conversation with the prescribing clinician to see if there's any alternatives that maybe don't upset your gut quite the same, or looking at what we can do to protect your gut if you need to stay on those drugs. Then we replace. So replace is what the gut needs to function properly. Digestive enzymes, if there's evidence of poor digestion and absorption. Stomach acid support. So low stomach acid is remarkably common and contributes significantly to poor protein digestion and dysbiosis. Maybe bile support for fat digestion. These are the tools that the gut needs to do its job. And many people's guts are just running on a reduced toolkit. Then we need to reinoculate. So reinoculate the microbiome with beneficial bacteria and the diverse fibers they need to thrive. This means dietary diversity first. The research on microbiome health consistently points to the number of different plant foods that you eat each week as one of the most significant determinants of microbiome diversity. The target is 50, but as a minimum 30 different plant foods per week. This includes things like vegetables, fruits, legumes, whole grains, nuts, seeds, herbs, spices. And it's a really practical goal with really solid evidence behind it. Fermented foods, so things like live yogurt, kefir, sauerkraut, kimchi, miso, they all add live bacteria and have been shown in clinical trials to increase microbiome diversity and reduce inflammatory markers. And targeted probiotic supplementation can also be helpful. Strain specificity really does matter here. Taking any old probiotic and hoping for the best is significantly less effective than selecting the right one based on your clinical picture. And that's what we're trained to do as clinicians. Then we've got to look at repair. So repair the gut lining directly. Key nutrients here are things like L-glutamine, that's the primary fuel source for intestinal cells, and one of the most well-researched gut lining repair nutrients that we have. Then there's zinc carnosine, so this is the specific evidence here for gut epithelial repair, collagen and collagen-supporting nutrients, omega-3 fatty acids, which are anti-inflammatory and directly supportive of gut cell membrane integrity, and vitamin D, which so many people are low in, which plays a significant role in regulating the tight junctions between the gut cells, the structures that maintain that barrier function that we've been talking about. And then alongside those four R's, there's the stress piece, because none of the above is going to hold if that cortisol tap is still running. And we talked about stress last month on this podcast, but addressing that adrenal load, the HPA axis, is not separate from addressing gut health. It's part of that same intervention. And we'll look more at this next week when we look at the adrenal gut immune triangle. But for now, hold on to this. You cannot have a healthy gut under sustained, unaddressed chronic stress. The interventions that I've just been talking to you about, they need a stable stress physiology to land in. So let me bring this all together. Your gut and your immune system are not separate systems. They're in constant communication, deeply interdependent. And when their relationship is under stress, for whatever reason that might be, the consequences ripple through your energy levels, your skin, your ability to fight infection, your inflammatory load, and your long-term immune health. The gut-immune axis is compromised by chronic stress, antibiotic use, ultra-processed foods, poor sleep, alcohol, and certain medications. It announces itself as fatigue, brain fog, recurrent illness, skin conditions, digestive symptoms, and in its more serious manifestations as autoimmune disease. And it is addressable. Not quickly, not with a single supplement, not with a 10-day reset, and then back to everything as before, but genuinely, meaningfully, durably addressable through a 4R framework, through dietary changes that are sustainable rather than extreme, and through addressing the stress physiology that sits underneath it all. So I've got one question that I want you to sit with this week. Which of those six disruptors that we talked about do you recognize most clearly in your own picture right now? Not all of them, just the dominant one. because there is often one that is the place to start. And a couple of things before I let you go. If today's episode has given you a framework you want to go deeper on, the gut pillar is covered in full in my book, Optimal You, alongside all 12 pillars of my functional medicine framework that I use in clinic. And that's available wherever books are sold and linked in the show notes below. If you want to take a practical first step, a whole system week that addresses gut support, inflammation, blood sugar, and stress physiology in one 7-day protocol, the Optimal You 7-day reset is on a launch price at the moment of just $7.99. And that link is also in the show notes below. Most people notice something meaningful within the first 3 to 4 days. Next Monday, we're going to go deeper. So episode 2 is about the adrenal gut immune triangle and why looking at one of those without looking at the others so often keeps people stuck and what that joined up picture looks like clinically. Subscribe wherever you're listening so you don't miss out. And if today's episode was useful, share it with one other person, the person who keeps getting ill, the person who has a gut feeling quite literally that something is being missed. This episode might be the one that just joins the dots for them. You can find us at goodhealth.uk, that's GOODE, on Instagram at Good Health Clinic, and everywhere you'd expect to find a podcast. The show notes, the resources, and the links are all below. I'll see you next week.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Good Health Podcast. Do share the episode with anyone you think it may benefit and help us to spread the word on all things health and wellness by rating, liking, or subscribing to the podcast. If you want more, you can listen to more episodes on your favorite podcast app or sign up to my newsletter for my favorite tips, tricks, health advice, brands, recipes, and more at nicolegoodhealth.com/newsletter. Have a lovely week. Don't forget to hit subscribe and I'll see you on the next episode of the Good Health Podcast.